Thank you, Brother Larry. I appreciate those kind words. And good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be here in the Collins local once again. Deb and I were trying to remember the last time we were here, and both of our memories are failing, and we couldn't remember exactly, but I know it's been too long. And as soon as we walk through these doors, we can feel the Lord's Spirit here, and we can feel the love of His people in this local. And it's a blessing to us to be here. I like that song that we just sang. And verse 5 kind of comes out at me today as I think about the words that I might bring today. Verse 5 says, "There shall be showers of blessing if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing if we let God have His way," instead of thinking we have the answers. You know, just a little over 10 days ago, almost 2 weeks ago, we observed a birthday, the birthday of the United States of America. And I have to admit, in the last few years, my enthusiasm for that birthday has dimmed somewhat as I see the things that have been happening in this land of America that we all love so much. We see things prophesied, of course, but things that we're not happy about, those of us that go back a ways. I think back to, I know nobody here besides me probably remembers the 1960s. I'm being kind to you. there may be a couple here that don't remember the 1960s. But you know, that was an interesting time in our history. And I remember some of the mantra of the love children of the 1960s, you know, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. And nobody wanted to be preached to. You know, I'm happy to come to a place where people don't think that preaching is a nasty word of some sort. But, and you know, we see some of this today, don't we? People don't want you to preach to them. If you see somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing, and you maybe try to admonish them or warn them a little bit, or maybe correct them a little bit, often they'll say, don't preach to me. You know, I don't need your preaching. You know, this is not the Lord's way. You know, the Lord's way, if we do things His way, He commands, He demands our conformity to His ways. He doesn't want us just out doing our own thing, as it says. That's not the Lord's way, and His definition of freedom and liberty is not perhaps the same as what ours might be. In John chapter 8, I might not just turn there, maybe not read the whole thing, but John chapter 8, in verse 32, the Lord tells us in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The verse above that says, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. So the Lord is saying, you know, if you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, not free to do your own thing, but if you follow me, if you continue in my word, you keep my commandments, you shall be made free from the bondage of sin. The bondage of sin that leads to destruction. So the Lord demands that we do things His way if we are to be His people. I'm going to open with one verse out of Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'm probably going to go back there momentarily. But Jeremiah chapter 6, I'm just going to read verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 6. And the Lord says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." The word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. In other words, some people, they hear what the Lord has to say, or they hear his word, and all they hear is the thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. The word is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. I'm going to go to Zephaniah, also in the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 3. And my sermon is kind of based on the first two verses of Zephaniah chapter 3. And I have to admit that these, especially chapter 2, these words were kind of taken from a sermon that I heard Brother Don McIndoo preach in Phoenix one time. And I always, I don't remember his exactly how his sermon went, but the words contained in the second verse of chapter 3 have always stuck with me. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And I'm going to take a little bit of liberty with this verse, and I'm going to change the word city in that verse. I'm going to change that to nation. And I know this is probably speaking back here is probably speaking of Jerusalem, but we know that things in the Old Testament quite often are speaking of things back then, but they're also for us in these last days. So I'm going to change that word city, which may have been Jerusalem. I'm going to change it to nation, and I want you to think of America in our day. "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing nation." And that oppressing, as I looked up the word oppressing in the concordance, number of definitions, but the words that stood out to me were violent and proud. "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the violent and proud nation." Verse 2, number 1, she obeyed not the voice. Number 2, she received not correction. Number 3, she trusted not in the Lord. And number 4, she drew not near to her God. As I go through this, I'm going to take these items one by one and read some scriptures that I believe are pertinent to these things. Number 1, she obeyed not the voice. She obeyed not the voice. And I'm going to go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. Excuse me for my fumbling around here. Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'm going to move on to start in verse 15. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard these scriptures before, these verses. Verse 15 through 19 of Jeremiah chapter 6. "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush." You know, I think those words remind me back to Isaiah, where it says, "In our day they will call evil good, and they will call good evil." "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Hear the sound of warning. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Many in this nation have rejected the law of God. Will we in the Church of Christ, or will we stay true to the gospel that we've been given? They said back then, we will not hearken. Many are saying that today. I'd like to go to the Book of Commandments and read the very first chapter, the preface to the Book of Commandments. And I'm just going to read verse 3 of the preface. The voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth, that all that will hear may hear. Prepare ye for that which is to come, for the Lord is nigh. And the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth. And the arm of the Lord shall be revealed, and the day cometh, that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. For they have strayed from mine ordinances, and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world, and whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old, and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. The people who will not hear the words of the Lord or his servants will be cut off from among the people. We see that separation in this nation happening even now, the separation of the people, the righteous from the unbelievers. I've never seen such division in this nation before, political division, cultural division, hate, you name it, anger. You know, our politicians seem to work by anger and division these days rather than cooperation and striving to do what's best for the country. There's a great separation coming. We're warned in Revelation chapter 18. I know I've read this these words before. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 5 of Revelation 18. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. a warning to his people to come out, to come out of that Babylon which will fall. Do we hear that voice of the Lord, and do we obey that voice that tells us to come out of the things of this world? I'm going to go to Alma chapter 3 on page 320. I'm sorry, page 317. The Lord desires us to hear his voice and to obey his voice. I'm going to start on page 317. Chapter 3 of Alma. And I'm going to start with verse 57. Verse 57 through 63. This is what the Lord desires of us, starting with verse 57. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, Repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, Come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same hath cause to wail and mourn. O ye workers of iniquity, ye that are puffed up in the vain things of the world, ye that have professed to have known the ways of righteousness, nevertheless, ye have gone astray, as sheep having no shepherd. Notwithstanding, a shepherd hath called after you, and art still calling after you, but ye will not hearken unto his voice. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. He says to follow him. He tells us in Matthew chapter 19, come and follow me. Don't follow the things of the world. I'm going to skip over to page 320 of Alma chapter 3. And I'm just going to read verses 98 through 100. Verses 98 through 100 on page 320, Alma chapter 3. Verse 98. And now I say unto you, all you that are desirous to follow the voice of the good shepherd, come ye out from the wicked, and be ye separate, and touch not their unclean things. Come out of Babylon, as we were warned in Revelation. Come ye out from the wicked, and be ye separate. Touch not their unclean things. And behold, their name shall be blotted out, that the names of the wicked shall not be numbered among the names of the righteous, that the word of God may be fulfilled, which saith, The names of the wicked shall not be mingled with the names of my people. For the names of the righteous shall be written in the book of life, and unto them will I grant an inheritance at my right hand. So again, he's exhorting his people to repent, to come out of Babylon, to come out of the world, because there will be a separation. He is causing a separation in these last days, and he wants his people to separate themselves. I'm going to go now to the second item in that second verse of Zephaniah, in Zephaniah chapter 3, the second verse, where it says, The first part says she obeyed not the voice. The second item says she received not correction. I'm going to go to Helaman chapter 5 on page 586. Page 586. This is Helaman chapter 5 on page 586. This is the story, of course, of Samuel the Lamanite, who went to preach to the Nephites. Boy, there's a switch where the Lamanites had become the more righteous of the bunch, and the Lord sent Samuel the Lamanite to preach unto the Nephites that they might repent. I'm going to start with verse 1 and read through verse 7. This is Helaman chapter 5, starting with verse 1. And now it came to pass in the 86th year, the Nephites did still remain in wickedness, yea, in great wickedness, while the Lamanites did observe strictly to keep the commandments of God according to the law of Moses. And it came to pass that in this year there was one Samuel, a Lamanite, came into the land of Zarahemla and began to preach unto the people. He began to preach unto the Nephites. And it came to pass that he did preach many days repentance unto the people, and they did cast him out. And he was about to return to his own land. But behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him that he should return again and prophesy unto the people whatsoever things should come into his heart. And it came to pass that they would not suffer that he should enter into the city. Therefore he went out and got upon the wall thereof. He got upon the wall of the city and stretched forth his hand and cried with a loud voice and prophesied unto the people whatsoever things the Lord put into his heart. And he said unto them, Behold, I, Samuel, a Lamanite, do speak the words of the Lord which he doth put into my heart. And behold, he hath put it into my heart to say unto this people that the sword of justice hangeth over this people, and 400 years passeth not away, save the sword of justice falleth upon this people. Yea, heavy destruction awaiteth this people, and it surely cometh unto this people, and nothing can save this people, save it be repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Should it be any different for us in this day if we don't repent? Skipping down to verse 10. We're going to read 10 through 18. Therefore thus saith the Lord, because of the hardness of the hearts of the people of the Nephites, except they repent, I will take away my word from them, and I will withdraw my spirit from them, and I will suffer them no longer, and I will turn the hearts of their brethren against them. And 400 years shall not pass away before I will cause that they shall be smitten. Yea, I will visit them with the sword and with famine and with pestilence. Yea, I will visit them in my fierce anger, and there shall be those of the fourth generation which shall live of your enemies to behold your utter destruction. And this shall surely come except ye repent, saith the Lord, and those of the fourth generation shall visit your destruction. But if ye will repent, if ye will repent and return unto the Lord your God, I will turn away mine anger, saith the Lord. Yea, thus saith the Lord, blessed are they who will repent and turn unto me. But woe unto him that repenteth not. Yea, woe unto this great city of Zarahemla, for behold, it is because of those which are righteous that it is saved. Yea, woe unto this great city, for I perceive, saith the Lord, that there are many, yea, even the more part of this great city that will harden their hearts against me, saith the Lord. But blessed are they who will repent, for them will I spare. But behold, if it were not for the righteous which are in this great city, behold, I would cause that fire should come down out of heaven and destroy it. But behold, it is for the righteous' sake that it is spared. But behold, the time cometh, saith the Lord, that when ye shall cast out the righteous from among you, then ye shall be ripe for destruction. How close are we to that condition in this nation today? Our brother today in his poem that he read made reference to Zion. And, you know, we have hope in the cause of Zion today. The Lord will spare the more righteous. There is a place for those that are obedient to his commandments, that will repent, a place of safety and refuge when he is taking out his wrath upon the wicked. So we have to pray that we are among those striving to do the Lord's will. I'm going to skip down to verse 35 now in Helaman chapter 5, verse 35. He says, if a prophet come among you and declareth unto you the word of the Lord, which testifieth of your sins and iniquities, ye are angry with him and cast him out and seek all manner of ways to destroy him. Yea, you will say that he is a false prophet, and that he is a sinner and of the devil, because he testifieth that your deeds are evil. But behold, if a man shall come among you and shall say, do this, and there is no iniquity, do that, and ye shall not suffer, yea, he will say, walk after the pride of your own hearts, yea, walk after the pride of your eyes, and do whatsoever your heart desireth. And if a man shall come among you and say this, ye will receive him, and ye will say that he is a prophet. Yea, ye will lift him up, and ye will give unto him of your substance, ye will give unto him of your gold and of your silver, and ye will clothe him with costly apparel. And because he speaketh flattering words unto you, and he saith that all is well, then ye will not find fault with him. I think we've all heard the words preaching to itching ears, and the words all is well in Zion. And I hope we don't hear those words in the Church of Christ, because all is not well in Zion. And the Lord's people have need to repent and to follow after the Lord's righteousness. I'm going to go over to Hebrews. Chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, and read why the Lord commands us to receive correction, why it is his will that we gladly receive his correction, that we not be puffed up and prideful in our hearts. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 5. Starting with verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, the Lord, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Will we accept the Lord's correction? Will we accept his chastening, knowing that if we repent and receive of it joyfully, that it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness afterwards? I'm going on to that next item that was listed in the second chapter of Zephaniah. The third item that says, she trusted not in the Lord. She trusted not in the Lord. I'm going to go back to Helaman in the Book of Mormon, chapter 4, on page 584. 584. This is the fourth chapter of Helaman. I'm going to start. With verse 48. This is the time in history when the Gadianton robbers were raiding both the Nephites and the Lamanites. They were raiding the Nephites and the Lamanites and doing great damage, causing much destruction, killing many, taking captives. And the Gadianton robbers were having great success in raiding the Nephites and the Lamanites. And the Nephites and the Lamanites would come unto the Lord. You know, when they were on the verge of being destroyed, they would remember God, and they would go to their God and cry out to him for his deliverance. And he would do it. When they cried out to him for deliverance and repentance of their evil works, he would remember them, and he delivered them from these robbers. But it didn't last long. You know, within a year, they were back doing the same kind of things that they were doing before. It kind of reminds me a little bit of our own 9/11, when we were raided by terrorists and a great destruction was wrought upon New York City. How the nation seemed to repent for a time. It didn't last very long, but for a time, people were going back to church and seemed to be repenting and looking to the Lord because of this great thing that had happened to us. So I liken what was happening to the Nephites to something that's happened in our day, and it may happen again. It might be worse the next time. Anyway, I'm going to go to verse 48. Starting in verse 48 on page 584, chapter 4 of Helaman. I'm going to read verses 48 through 55. And thus we can behold how false, and also the unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. Yea, we can see that the Lord in his great infinite goodness doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in him. He blesses and prospers those who put their trust in him. Yea, and we may see at the very time when he doth prosper his people, yea, in the increase of their fields, their flocks, and their herds, and in gold and silver, and in all manner of precious things of every kind, and art sparing their lives, and delivering them out of the hands of their enemies, softening the hearts of their enemies, that they should not declare wars against them, yea, and in fine, doing all things for the welfare and happiness of his people. Yea, then is the time that they do harden their hearts and do forget the Lord their God and do trample under their feet the Holy One. Yea, and this because of their ease and their exceeding great prosperity. And thus we see that except the Lord doth chasten his people with many afflictions, yea, except he doth visit them with death and with terror and with famine and with all manner of pestilences, they will not remember him. Oh, how foolish and how vain and how evil and devilish and how quick to do iniquity and how slow to do good are the children of men. Yea, how quick to hearken unto the words of the evil one and to set their hearts upon the vain things of the world. Yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride. Yea, how quick to boast and do all manner of that which is iniquity. And how slow are they to remember the Lord their God and to give ear unto his counsels. Yea, how slow to walk in wisdom's path. When we prosper and are blessed, we seem to somehow think that it is our own doing, and we forget the Lord who blesses us with everything that we have. It's his doing, it's not ours. I'm going to read one more verse here out of 2 Nephi chapter 6 on page 109. Second Nephi chapter 6 on page 109. I'm going to read verses starting with verse 58 through 61. Starting with verse 58, this is Jacob speaking in 2 Nephi chapter 6. Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men. When they are learned, they think that they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. They hearken not unto the counsel of God. They set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not. Wherefore they shall perish. But to be learned is good, if it so be that they hearken unto the counsels of God. I might say that this seems to be a rare quality these days, that those that are learned hearken unto the counsels of God and give the Lord credit for all that they have. I find this is good reading for our young people that are headed off to college these days. Learn a lot, but remember who's responsible for all that you have. Also, as our brother read in his poem this morning, you know, to us whom much is given will be much required. And we have received very much. And it makes sense that the Lord requires much of us. I'm going to go to Jeremiah to find the Lord's words on why we should put our trust in him rather than in man. I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm sure these are words that you've heard over and over. I'm not here to bring anything new today. Jeremiah 17, the counsel of the Lord, beginning on verse 5. I'll read verse 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I think those last words are important. Whose heart departeth from the Lord. Why else would your trust be in man rather than the Lord, unless your heart was not with the Lord? Verse 6. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Wise counsel from the Lord as to why we should put our trust in him and not in the arm of flesh. The fourth item in that second verse in Zephaniah is, she drew not near to her God. She drew not near to her God. Many in this nation today are drawing near to many things other than God. There are many that continue to want to draw near to God, but as a nation, many are drawing away from God unto the precepts of man. I'm going to go again to 2 Nephi in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi chapter 11 on page 146. Chapter 11, 2 Nephi, page 146. I'm going to start with verse 90. Verse 90, and we'll read through 105. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God and preach up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envyings and strifes and malice. And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord, until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he saith, Come, come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, buy milk and honey, without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. He invites all to draw near to him. He invites all to draw near to him, but he gives us our free agency. We have the choice to draw near to him or to draw near to the things of the world. We always have our free agency, and he will never make us do anything. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, the Lord is speaking to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. He's speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. And this is what all these things are saying, is that when we don't do these things that the Lord commands us to do, it's an indication that our hearts are in the wrong place. Our hearts are far from Him. They're in the world. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Not teaching my doctrines, but teaching the commandments of men for doctrine. And I know we see that in many, many churches of the day today. Men have changed the Bibles. They've changed the wording of the Bibles, supposedly to make them easier to understand. But in the process, now this is my opinion, some of the meaning has been changed in some of these, in the perhaps innocent, well-intentioned way to make words easier to understand in the modern language. Sometimes the meaning of things gets inadvertently changed so that people are led in the wrong direction. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men, and some churches, some preachers are pretty direct about it, saying that these things that are in the Bible, these are outdated. Times have changed. We're living in modern times now. We have to change with the times. Well, we all know that the Lord does not change. The Lord changes not. I'm going to go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. Verses 4 through 10. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I've tried to resist the devil, and sometimes I've been momentarily successful in that. But I find that he doesn't flee from me for very long, because usually I invite him back with something that I do or say. So, but the good counsel here is to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he, God, will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Draw nigh to God with your heart, and he will draw nigh to you. I'm going to close with a few short readings from our brothers Mormon and Moroni, found in the latter section of the Book of Mormon. They saw our day. They saw our day today. I'm going to start with Mormon chapter 4. Mormon chapter 4 on page 708. Mormon chapter 4, page 708. I'm going to read verses 46 through 48. This is our brother Moroni speaking. This is at the time of the end of the Nephites' history, just prior to when the Nephites were exterminated. And I'm going to start with verse 46 on page 708. And Moroni says, "Behold, speaking to the Gentiles, speaking to us today, Behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ hath shown you unto me, and I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. And there are none, save a few only, which do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts, unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying, and strifes, and malice, and persecutions, and all manner of iniquities. I hope that we are among the few that do not lift ourselves up in the pride of our hearts, but that desire to follow after the Lord's commandments. I'm going to go over to page 771. This is the book of Moroni, chapter 8. Moroni, chapter 8, on page 771. This is Mormon speaking to his son Moroni, prior to the extinction or the destruction of the Nephites. I'm going to start with verse 30. Mormon speaking to his son Moroni, starting with verse 30. Behold, my son, I will write unto you again, if I go not out soon against the Lamanites. Behold, the pride of this nation, or the people of the Nephites, hath proven their destruction, except they should repent. Pray for them, my son, that repentance may come unto them. But behold, I fear lest the Spirit hath ceased striving with them. In this part of the land they are also seeking to put down all power and authority which cometh from God, and they are denying the Holy Ghost. I think that bears repeating as we think of our nation today. In this part of the land, they are also seeking to put down all power and authority which cometh from God, and they are denying the Holy Ghost. And after rejecting so great a knowledge, my son, they must perish soon, unto the fulfilling of the prophecies which were spoken by the prophets, as well as the words of our Savior himself. Farewell, my son, until I shall write unto you, or shall meet you again. Amen. One other short reading on the following page, page 772, Moroni chapter 9, verses 3-6. This is Mormon continuing to speak to his son Moroni, starting with verse 3. And now behold, my son, I fear lest the Lamanites shall destroy this people, for they do not repent, and Satan stirreth them up continually to anger one with another. Behold, I am laboring with them continually, and when I speak the word of God with sharpness, they tremble in anger against me. And when I use no sharpness, they harden their hearts against it. Wherefore, I fear lest the Spirit of the Lord hath ceased striving with them. For so exceedingly do they anger that it seemeth me that they have no fear of death, and they have lost their love one towards another. They have lost their love one towards another, and they thirst after blood and revenge continually. I think this is the most important. This last verse is the most important to us, us as servants and us as believers, members of this Church of Christ. And now, my beloved son, notwithstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently. For if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a labor to perform whilst in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness, and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. No matter how bad or how sinful things become, we have a commandment to labor with the people, to strive to bring people to repentance, to bring to them this gospel of the Lord in its purity. I just wanted to, I know you've probably been talking here in this local about this Brazilian situation, this second invitation to Brazil, the things that are coming out of Brazil. And I don't really have a lot to say about that. I know that Brother Joseph is heavily involved in this work in Brazil. I just want to, Brother Joe, maybe I've said this here before, I'm not sure, but the last time I heard Brother Joe Smith preach, it was here at Collins. I believe it was maybe a rally. Brother Joe preached, and he always he used a line that I've always remembered. It's not in the scriptures, but he in line with what he was giving his sermon about, he concluded by saying that, brothers and sisters, we are all called to be fruit inspectors. I always thought that was kind of a cute, we're called to be fruit inspectors. And yet, from what I'm hearing from Brother Joe now, I fear that he is calling us to not inspect his fruit, but to accept what is being said at face value, and we're being urged to get behind the testimony of Brother Joe and others. And my personal opinion is I want to be a fruit inspector. If there's something that's coming out of this work in Brazil, I'm not ready right now to say it's a big phony. I know it is. I don't believe it. It's not true. And I'm not ready to say that it's of the Lord either. I want to see if there's any fruit that comes out of this. We all know that sealed portion of the Book of Mormon is going to come forth. It is going to come forth. I'm not sure whether this is that work or not. But if something comes out of this, if there's a translation that comes out of it, I want to be a fruit inspector. I want to pray about it. I want to read what comes out of it. I want to pray about it and ask the Lord for discernment about it. I'm not ready to make a judgment right now. I don't know. Many people have. Many people have made a firm judgment at this point on one side or the other. I would urge you not to do that, but to be fruit inspectors when we see what the fruit is. So I thank you. I thank you for your kind attention as usual, and it's wonderful to be with you today, and may God bless us all in the days ahead.
Shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. How many of you ever had a calf in the stall? I don't have very many farmers. Thank you, Brother Yates.
Well, this way, I did. I was brought up on the farm.
Right. So what do you have to do? If you got a calf in the stall, you're going to have to take care of them, or what's going to happen? You're going to starve to death, die of thirst, or whatever. That calf is totally dependent upon you feeding him and watering him and taking care of him. Well, that's what the Lord says we're going to be. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That means God's going to take care of us. Now, Joy and I had a conversation similar to what Mike talked about earlier today about him and Cheryl. We're talking maybe a different approach to it, but we're talking about, it wasn't about something to do away with all our electronics, but just what would happen if the government all collapsed tomorrow and there was no food in the grocery store.